Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So glad to have been with us today. Brother Kenny, glad to be here again. And we trust that God will bless you through this service. And we're glad to have, after all, it's a long time, we haven't had her, Sister Janine. Sister Janine Russell, we're glad to have you with us too, as we come to worship the Lord together in the beauty of holiness. And we trust that God will bless all of us as we give him the glory, the praise, and the thanks that he deserves. Today is Men's Sunday in the Apostolic Church. And I want to take the time out to say a very, very pleasant Sunday to all the men that are here. Yes. We have heard a wonderful praise and worship service conducted by Brother Bailey. And he has never disappointed us. He continued to be steadfast in the work of the Lord, and we bless God for him. And all the men who have come today to be a part of this service, the Lord bless you and your family, and we are glad to have you. And we're glad to have our sisters as well, our sisters who have come to give us support on this Sunday. To you, to God be the glory for you, sisters. And may the Lord bless you as we minister. Praise him. Pastor Fiani rightly said that this is going to be a continuation of something that was started the last time I minister here in our men's service. And it is from the passage that Brother Dauntley read, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. And you will remember some of the things that were said then. John tells us something that I think need to be repeated at this time. At a time when believers seems to be at a place where some are wondering, how is it that the Lord is not fighting back? There are so many attacks up on the church, up on the people of God. And how is it that the Lord is not fighting back? But that is not the way in which the Lord goes about his business. I mean, one example that we should use is that when he was being crucified, there are many things that were said that he could have stepped off that cross and disciplined all of those who were at the foot of the cross, and he held his composure. And I want to say to all the believers today, amidst all the testing, amidst all the trials, keep trusting God. Because he has promised us something that he is going to deliver. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is nothing right now that is more satisfying than to have assurance of God's promise from his word. And I want to say to all of us here as believers in Christ, whatever you have started in Christ, regardless of what time that was, some of us are serving the Lord longer than some. Continue to hold on to that same vision in God. Amen. Because God has not changed. Amen, somebody. God has not changed. Praise the Lord. There are going to be testing. There are going to be trials. But God remains steadfast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God remain steadfast. Hallelujah. So John in his presentation over there in 1 John chapter 3, 1 to 3, inform us about some things. And the topic that we're going to use this morning is the same topic that we had used the first time I started ministering from this passage, which is the honor of being called a son. The honor of being called a son. And where is that in the Bible? We find it in 1 John chapter 3, from 1 to 3. But especially verse 2 that says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God."
And
now are we the sons of God. Not when we die. There is no repentance in the grave. The decision has to be made now.
Yes.
So John is saying to us, in this present life, those of us who have made decision to serve him, now are we the sons of God. And let me say this to us, and I think I did venture out on it last time, that when we talk about sons in this context, we are cutting across gender, because it takes in our sisters as well. When John said, "Now are we the sons of God," he's speaking to the entire church.
Yes.
Male and female, that addressed to all of us. Now are we the sons of God. And there are many other scriptures there that point out to the fact where the Bible addresses the woman as sons of God. And John is singling out here, when he said sons of God, he's referring to the entire body of Christ, whether it
Amen.
Is male
Amen.
Or female. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But the
yes.
point John is making is that it is not when we die that that decision is going to be made. That decision is made now. Now, when we are here, living, hearing, seeing, analyzing, making different decisions, now are we the sons of God. John went on to declare in that same verse 2, "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know." But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And John used this footnote here, which I will come back to later on in verse 3, when he said, "And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." Hallelujah. So it is something that we need to hug dear to our heart. The fact that now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. It speaks of a transition. But we know, John declared, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Bless the Lord. Now, if that is all that was said in the entire Bible in regards to us having a relationship with the Lord, that would be a mouthful in itself. But I want to move on from what John had said here to what Paul is saying, viewing the same thing from the same lens. Because John brings us to a place where he has left us there with a hope of things to come without actually declaring what things those are going to be. But at least he left us with enough hope, and he has stabilized us spiritually here by giving us something to work with, to for us to say, to what end do we serve? To what end do we keep coming to church? To what end do we keep lifting up the name of Jesus? To what end do we continue to love God despite all the challenges that we face? John gave us the assurance that the time is going to come when we shall be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And that in itself should encourage us to continue to serve. But when we take another look on this, viewing it now from the standpoint of the Apostle Paul, we are going to have some more details on what John is seeing over here and where he left off without informing us. So I'm going to ask you to let us look at a portion of scripture here from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 10. Remember the general topic that we are concentrating on. The honor to be called a son by God. When God called you a son, it is a tremendous honor. All right, so let us look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, Paul, it is that is speaking here. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Try to go through that again slowly. And it might be necessary for me to read it one more time. 9, verse 9. But as it is written in Isaiah. Isaiah, Paul is quoting from Isaiah here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things. Look at that plural. Look at how Paul has suddenly introduced plurality into this. The things which God had prepared for them, the plurality again, that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them, look on the word them again. First he uses the word things, and now he's using the word them. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Make a note of those two verses, and then please visit them at another time when it is convenient for you. So what we are seeing right here is that Paul is saying the same thing as John, only using different language. John said, it does not, John said, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul is saying, eyes have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. Paul is saying to us, no man can explain adequately what the eternal purpose of God is in regards to you and me. It has never entered into the heart of any human being, anywhere. It is a truth that is hidden in the bowel of God. That is what Paul is saying here. And John was inching towards that too when he said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But all he knows is that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. So therefore, John was inching to the deep embedded truth in God that has not yet revealed, which is there in store for you and me. And John, while he left off without going into the full details with it, what we find here is that the apostle making the same presentation thought as John went a little bit further as we read in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Let me read that again. Where the Apostle Paul now went a little bit further than John. Verse 10, I read it again. Look on the word but. As the Apostle Paul made that first presentation in chapter 9 that correspond with what John had said in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Paul went a little further as he pivoted to another layer of truth in regards to the same person, which is you and me, as he related to us in verse 10. He said, but, despite what I've said in verse 9, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, it has never entered into the heart of man anywhere, the things that God has in store for them that love him. Then Paul said, but, in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. My brothers and my sisters, God is not going to have his people in the dark. You will remember what St. John chapter 16, verse 13 tells us. It tells us that whatever the Spirit hears, whatever the Spirit hears, the Spirit being the Holy Ghost, being a part of the counsel of God. And the counsel continue to engage in deep discussion pertaining to the redemption process. And in that particular verse of Scripture, St. John 16, verse 13, it tells us, whatever the Spirit ears, that will he make known unto us. So the Spirit of God has become what is called the General Secretary of the Godhead to impart information from the counsel of God to the people of God, to take the deep things out of the bowel of God, which was in secret in God. The Holy Ghost has been saddled with the responsibility of conveying that truth, that hidden truth of God to the people of God. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to us here. But God had revealed them to us, he said, by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. What are the deep things of God? That the Spirit have access to. That the Spirit of God pulls out from the counsel of God and by consensus conveys to the servants of God. That is the eternal purpose of God for the believer, that after this life, what is going to happen and how it is going to be. That's why right here I want to say to the believers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
Because what we are seeing now is nothing compared to what God has in store for us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I find that regardless of what it is that we might achieve in this life, it is puny. It is absolutely puny compared to what God has in store for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The apostle said, the Spirit of God searcheth the deep things of God. And in searching the deep things of God, make revelation to the servant of God about the things that concerns us. I'm going to use the scripture more than one time, but let me just go there and use it for the first time this morning, to show you something how the Lord wants this thing to go. Romans 8:16. Here, listen to what it says. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit convey the information, the Spirit of God convey the inspiration, the information from God to our spirit that we are the children of God. Outside of that, if your brother tells you that you are the child, you're a child of God, you are not sure. If your sister tells you you're a child of God, you are not sure. But when the Spirit of God tells you that you are a child of God, then you are absolutely sure that you are a son of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And that is the responsibility that the Spirit of God come to our spirit. Spirit, speaking with spirit and said, look, you have been accepted into the family of God. And you are now a son. As John said, now are we the sons of God.
It's God.
It is the spirit that bear it, that witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And that same spirit search the deep things of God. And in searching the deep things of God, come up with the realization that you are a son of God.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
I believe somebody should say praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Let me say this to us. Life is throwing everything it has against us. Life is trying to rock us right, left, and center with problems. But we need to see the vision of God in all of it. And that is what is going to give us the strength and the determination to continue to serve Him.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen.
So let's get into this. Let's get into these things. So we say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10, Paul uses some choice words, but he was only conveying the words that he got from the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost vision that he was conveying when he uses these choice words here. And the first word that we may mention, he said, he uses the word things. And let me put that in context again. But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And verse 10 said, but God had revealed them, those what he called things in the previous verse, he is saying God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. So what are those things? And what are those them that the Apostle Paul is referring to here? As we have in the background the honor of being called a son by God. What are those things that the Holy Spirit speak of? And what are them the Holy Spirit speak of? Let us spend a little time and look and see if we can find some answer to this. Because certainly, we're going to look at three thoughts here, but it is not they are not confined only to three thoughts. There are many more things, and there are many more them that the Holy Spirit make reference to. But we will just look on three of those for today. So the first place that we're going to go to see if we can identify one of those things, the deep things that the Holy Ghost said that has revealed to us through the mouth and lenses of the Apostle Paul. But God has revealed them unto us. It means where John left off without telling us exactly what and what we are going to be as far as the Son is concerned, Paul now decides to go beyond that in his explanation, as it revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, taking out of the bosom of God the deep secrets of God in regards to the eternal purpose of God towards us. The first section we're going to look on is the mystery of change. What has revealed by the Spirit of God, the mystery of change. And that is to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The mystery of change. First Corinthians chapter 15, you might find it before me. 11, 12, 14, 15. Bless the Lord. The mystery of change. And I read from verse 15. Yeah, 51. I read from verse 51. Listen to what Paul said. Behold, I show you a mystery. That is coming from the Holy Ghost as he is conveying the truth of God to his servant. As the Holy Spirit searched the deep things of God and come up with this piece of information out of the bowel of God, which is a secret that was hidden in God from before the foundation of the world. And he has revealed it to his servant, and his servant, he said, he's saying, now, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Remember what John said over there in 1 John chapter 3. We don't know what we shall be. But one thing we know is when he shall appear, we shall be like him. John, leave it there. But the Apostle Paul is going on with it by giving us some meat on the bone to let us understand that mystery that lies beyond the grave that God has arranged for you listening right now amidst all our testing and trials. The apostle said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And then later on, further down in the passage, he said, but we shall be changed. Where Paul get that from? Paul got that from the Spirit of God. We shall be changed. Change from mortal to immortality. In the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal shall put on immortality. We are going to be changed. This is the first of the three things that we are trying to convey this morning. That there is a mysterious, there's going to be a mysterious change, a supernatural change with the people of God. This corruption shall put on incorruption. There's going to be a change. To all of us, we know a me righteous. All of us with our head righteous. All of us with our buck righteous. Because we call everything righteous. All the pain, all the agony, all the frustration, all the misery, all the disappointment in this life are going to be vanished away. Because this mortal shall put on immortality. There's going to be a change, a mysterious change for the children of God. That is what Paul is saying to us here as he received this piece of information from the bowel of God. And not only that, Colossians 3:20-21 tells us that we are going to receive a body like unto Jesus' glorious body.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, saints.
Amen.
We are this body of ours is going to be changed. This is what is coming from the heart of God in regards to you and me. But first of all, we have to be now called the sons of God in order to experience this.
Amen.
We are going to receive a body like Jesus' glorious body. Not subject to pain. Not subject to corruption. Not subject to disappointment. Not subject to death. A body like Jesus' glorious body.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, saints.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
So when God said, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is what John was talking about. A glorious body, like the body of Jesus, changed from mortal to immortality. And guess what? The Bible said it is going to be done in a twinkling of an eye. As you wink, it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. What God has in store for the believer. And I want to just remind us, if we could just look off from the disappointment of this life here, from the heartache and the frustration, the letdown and the disappointment, and see in the distant future what God has in store for us. We will indeed, we would indeed keep our eyes steadfast upon him. And let me just on to the second point here. The second point here is that the word tells us that we are going to be what? Joint heirs with Christ. This is another one of those things are them that the Apostle Paul said, the Spirit, but the Spirit has revealed, the Spirit of God has revealed unto his servant. This is another one of those things, and this is another one of those them that the Spirit has revealed to his servant concerning the eternal purpose of us in regards to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we, you and I, are going to be joint heirs with Christ. Let me read Let me read Romans chapter 8. Two passages of scripture I'm going to read here. You can find the other one, Galatians 4, in the meantime. But Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17, I'll read. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, that is Romans chapter 8. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. All right, let me just read one more passage here, and that is Galatians chapter 4. Come on, Galatians. Yes, Colossians, Galatians, Philippians. Galatians chapter 4. And I read 6 to 7. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, the second revelation by the Spirit of God to his servant is that not only that we are going to have a changed body like Jesus' body, but we are going to be elevated to the place of joint heirs with Christ. It means that whatever it is that Jesus is entitled to in terms of his inheritance, we too are going to share in that process as joint heirs. But it did not come because you are good and I am good. It came because of the love of God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. John starts out by saying, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It is sheerly because of the love of God to us why we are elevated to this position to be joint heirs with Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And that to me is a whole lot.
Amen.
That to me is a whole lot. Listen to how Paul emphasized this in Colossians chapter, in Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I should have said to you first that when the Apostle Paul heard about the conversion of the Ephesian brethren, he wrote this letter to them, and these are the things that he was saying to them. That in his prayer, he continued to pray for them daily. And in his prayer, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him speaking to the young converts. He went on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. And these are the three what's now that the Apostle Paul pray that the young converts will have. Listen to the three what's that he made mention of. I read from verse 18 again. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, the first what now, what is the hope of his calling, the second what, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the third what is in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his hope to us Lord, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. So there are three words there that the Apostle Paul is saying that he is praying that God will reveal to the believers the thing that God has in store for the believer. And one of the things that he may mention there is the inheritance. The same inheritance that Jesus exposed to, are entitled to. We, as children of God, we in the Apostolic Church in America this morning, by virtue of you and I making a decision to serve God, are entitled to. Because the love of God towards us makes it possible for us to draw down on these promises when the right time comes. Not only has the Spirit searched the deep things of God and out of the bowel of God, he spoke to his servant concerning the mystery of change that is coming for the believer. And remember, I go back to the scripture again in St. John chapter 16, verse 13. Where it says, whatever the Holy Ghost hears, he is going to make known to the church. And the Holy Ghost listens to the counsel of the Godhead and know the heart of God towards us. And now he's conveying this information to the Apostle Paul and said, the same inheritance that Jesus is exposed to, are entitled to, by virtue of the fact that we have surrendered our life to Jesus and our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, we too are entitled to the same because he has made us joint heirs with Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit told the apostle that is in the bosom of God. He has brought us up to the level where we are on the same fire with Jesus in terms of inheritance. My God, this is mind-boggling. Many of us would be glad if we have a granduncle somewhere who died and leave, whether it is money or property, whatever for us. And we reach an age where we can draw down on what was left for us. And we would do it with open arms and glee. But here, the Heavenly Father, our Father, our God, hallelujah, has so loved us that he looked at us and said, I love my son, Jesus. I love my son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Later on, God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And he repeated it twice. And God is saying, I love my son. But at the same time, I am going to share what he has with you, who are the redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By causing you and I to become joint heirs with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And you think Jesus is right there listening to all of this and saying, no. I'm not going to share my inheritance with anybody. You think Jesus is saying that? Jesus is welcoming the thought with open arms, because the word said he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints. He's satisfied to share his inheritance with you. He's
praise
satisfied
God.
To share his inheritance with me.
Praise the Lord.
The hidden secret of God. Coming out of the bowel of God, the Spirit is making it known to his servants.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And the last point of the 3 points that I choose to take from the many things that the Holy Spirit reveals to his servants. The last point is our nature is going to be changed. Our nature is going to be changed. Our nature is going to be changed. Let's look on 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I read from verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these things, that by these ye might be partaker of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me read that last verse again, verse 4. I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My brothers and my sisters, this is extremely powerful. Of the 3 points that we are looking at here, perhaps this is the most puzzling of all of them. That we are told, as it's revealed to God's servant through his Spirit, that God had promised the believer that he is going to give unto us divine nature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only that we are going to change and have a body like Jesus' glorious body, not only that we are elevated to become joint heirs with Jesus and entitled to all the promises and the inheritance that Jesus has. But no, we are told, coming out of the same place by the same Spirit, that we are going to be partaker of divine nature.
Mm. All right, Lord.
It means that we are going to be in a position to love like Jesus loved.
Praise God.
It means we are going to be in a position to look through the same lenses as God looked. And behold the beauty of not only heaven, but behold the beauty of earth. You see, right now on earth, we look around and we see so much trouble. We see trouble in our neighborhood. We see trouble on the road. We see trouble in Parliament. We see trouble in the White House. We see trouble everywhere. But looking through a pure lens, as God look, what God is going to see, what we are going to see, is that the whole earth is full of His glory.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he went out in this vision, and he saw the cherubims, and the seraphims worshiping God 24/7. Mm. Isaiah realized that there was something greater than he had ever experienced in his life. And he hit his chest and said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. For my eyes have beheld the Lord of hosts."
Mm.
And it is clear that one of the chorus that was being sung there by the seraphims and the cherubims is that, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of thy glory." Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we might not be able to behold the glory that is around us, heaven looking through a pure lens will behold the glory of God.
Praise the Lord.
That is what is going to happen to us in our present condition. We see problems, but in our changed position, we are going to look through the lens of God, and we are going to see nothing else but purity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because what? We have a new nature. We have a divine nature.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes, I'm talking about the saints from the Apostolic Church in America. You and I, God has purposed in Himself that He's going to take us to another level. That is the level of the mystery of change. And that is the level of being joint heirs with Jesus. And that is the level of having divine nature. So we come back to what John said in his footnote. What is it that John said in his footnote? Let's look at it again. John said here in his footnote in verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he pure is pure."
Hallelujah.
This is the way in which we are going to overcome our testing here. This is the way in which we are going to be victorious amid all the challenges, because we have a hope that is pure. Hallelujah. We have a hope that is conquered within the veil. And we know that hope is in the man called Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Believers, let us hold on. Because greater things are at us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's continue to lift him up and give him the praise as we begin for what is to come. Father, we bless your name this morning.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we thank you for the hope that you're placing us.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for calling us sons.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for calling us sons, Lord God. And thank you for making the preparation for us. And one day, we shall be changed. One day, we are going to be joined here with Jesus. One day, we are going to have divine nature.
Amen.
We give you praise.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
For the eternal purpose that you have worked out for us.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, there might be somebody listening right now who are not sure.
Hallelujah.
Not sure what the future holds for them. Lord, assure them this day that as far as you are concerned, you have gone to prepare a better place for all of us.
Hallelujah.
But now are we the sons of God. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to make preparation for that change. And I pray that on the heart of somebody who is here thinking about what has been said, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will convey the message to them that this also belongs to them. And they will make that decision to serve you before it's too late. Take glory for yourself to the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.